Good afternoon. Illinois Appellate Court, First District Court is now in session. The Sixth Division, the Honorable Justice Mary L. Mixford presiding. Case number 21-1578, Laurel Payne versus Encompass Home and Auto Insurance Company.
Thank you. Counsel, welcome. As you likely both know, we allow 20 minutes per side. Appellate would like to reserve any of that. I'm going to ask you in just a minute if how much time you'd like to reserve. You do not have to read, use the entire 20 minutes, and please be assured that we have all read your briefs. Before we start timing you, would each of you please, beginning with the appellant, state and spell your name and tell us who you represent?
Good afternoon, Your Honor. Stephen Phillips, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, Phillips, P-H-I, L-L-I-P-S, and my middle initial is J. I practice with my dad, so his is D, mine's J, just so it's...
Oh, we'll call you J.
J, that sounds fine. I represent plaintiff Laurel Payne.
Thank you. And would you like to reserve any time for rebuttal, Mr. Phillips?
Yes, Your Honor, 10 minutes should be sufficient.
Okay, so then you only have 10 minutes at the beginning. All right, Mr. White?
Yes, Brian White, B-R-I-A-N, last name White, W-H-I-T-E, and I represent defendant Encompass Home and Auto Insurance Company.
Thank you. Mr. Phillips, you may begin whenever you're ready.
Your Honor, if I may just pause my video for 1 minute, I can fix the lighting situation.
That would be good, and we won't take that out of your time. We'd like to see your face.
For the justices, is there a timer anywhere that we see on this?
No, timer is my mind, and we are very generous with time. If we're in the middle of something, we will certainly let you finish your point, but it's just a parameter.
Okay, I just want to make sure if I'm looking for something.
No, we'll probably warn you if we think you're in serious danger of going over your time, but we'll give you time to finish up.
Much
better, Mr. Phillips. You can definitely see.
I apologize.
Okay, whenever you're ready.
May it please the court. Your Honors, this is a very simple case and a very simple appeal, candidly. Laurel is listed by name multiple times throughout the policy, specifically under the coverages summary and specifically under the motor vehicle protection section of the policy. When we look at the policy, and what a reasonable policyholder would be led to believe when reading the policy and bargaining for coverage. Denying Laurel Payne coverage leads to a result that completely contravenes the Maryland Motor Vehicle Insurance Code, which is intended to be expansive and to protect people who are hurt by under and uninsured tortfeasors. The Maryland uninsured motorist statute is remedial in nature and therefore should be construed liberally. And that's Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company versus Schilling, 468 Maryland, 238. And that's 2020 was the year of that decision. The remedial nature of the uninsured motorist statute dictates, quote, a liberal construction in order to effectuate its purpose of assuring recovery for innocent victims of motor vehicle accidents.
Counsel, I'm just going to stop you for a minute. Would any of this matter if Laurel was clearly outside the definition of a family member under the policy? Do we get to any of this if she's clearly not a family member?
If she doesn't meet the definition of family member, this would not be germane. And I think the analysis starts with her being named. And if the court doesn't see her as being named or doesn't think she qualifies for coverage being named explicitly in the policy, then we move on to, in plaintiff's opinion, then we moved on to the analysis of whether she qualifies as a family member.
Okay. Well, okay. What I'm a little confused by is why the trial court used a definition of family member that is clearly limited to the umbrella policy and to other specific endorsements in the policy, and clearly does not, at least from what I can see, doesn't apply to the uninsured motorist protection.
That was my question as well, Your Honor. And I thought that that was something that was very important, because there are other definitions in that policy. And if you read the language for each of them, it says this applies as it's used in that section of the policy.
And there's no definition, I think we can agree, in the uninsured motorist section of the policy. No definition that explicitly applies there.
For family members, yes, that's correct. And I think the defendant concedes that in their brief as well.
Okay. How was it that the trial court applied this definition from another provision without even seeming to realize that that's what she was doing?
Your Honor, I don't know. We made that point, I thought, in the briefs and also at oral argument, and I don't know. It seemingly was overlooked. I don't have the answer to that. I really don't.
Okay.
I think our position, and candidly, it is our position, that we need not look further than the Maryland statute itself, and that's Insurance Code Section 19-501. And that says that a, quote, named insured is afforded coverage, a named insured. Importantly, named insured means, quote, the person denominated in the declarations in a motor vehicle liability insurance policy.
Isn't that really her parents? Aren't they really the only named insured? So why do you say that she is a named insured? I understand she's a rated driver, but that's different than a named insured.
Your Honor, the policy holder, you're right, is J. Benson Payne and Emery Payne. That is what the policy holder says. But if you look at the actual coverages section of the policy as it relates to the motor vehicles and the liability protection, she's listed right there. And it says underneath coverages and motor vehicle protection, she's listed. And under that statute, it says she need not be specifically denominated as the named insured or the policy holder. If her name is listed in the deck page, that's her. The trial court even found that when the trial court said, quote, she was listed, and this was an oral argument, and it's C-2509 in the record. Quote, she was listed in the policy as a driver in the declarations and in the policy in connection with the three cars that were listed as covered vehicles, end quote.
I'm a little confused as to why you think this is a better way to coverage than just simply saying she's a family member.
Because very rarely is there a person like Laurel specifically named in a policy like this, where there's premiums being paid, there are extra charges being made on the policy for coverage for her, and her name is explicitly in the policy. And I think it's potentially a different story if there was another child of the Payne household that wasn't mentioned explicitly in the policy. Then the court's analysis might be different. But when you have an individual who is named in the policy under the vehicle protection and coverages section, and there are premiums being paid on her behalf for coverage, I think that makes it very clear what Encompass knew they were getting into when they issued that policy, and also what the reasonable expectations of the policyholders were in covering their dog.
Counselor, do you believe that there may be a difference between one being a named insured and being a covered party?
If there's a difference between being a named insured and a covered party? Under Maryland law,
she's clearly covered under the policy, but is she a named insured?
I think under Maryland law, and the way that statute reads, and the Forbes case, she is covered and she is a named insured. The Forbes case says that the word named insured or word policyholder need not be used. If the person is on that page and their name appears there, they are covered.
So if I'm understanding you, this is an alternative way in which, in your mind, she clearly has coverage. She's covered as a family member, and she's also covered because under Maryland law and the statute, and Forbes, she is a covered person, even if she's not the named insurer.
Exactly, Your Honor.
Well, but let's just think that through for a moment. And let's assume that this is not an uninsured motorist issue. If someone is driving the car, if you have a 30-year-old adult child living in the home with you and they're driving your car and they have an accident, clearly they would be covered, correct? No doubt about that. We all agree that that would be covered. Is that correct, counsel?
Coverage would go with the vehicle, yes, Your Honor.
Right, but they wouldn't be a named insured. They would be covered though, correct?
If their name wasn't in the policy?
Yeah, even if their name wasn't in the policy, they'd still be covered.
Yes.
Because they're driving your car. Now, this case is different because we're talking about a situation where we're looking to be covered under the uninsured motorist provision after an accident which didn't involve the motor vehicle. She was a pedestrian walking across the street, hit by a car, an underinsured driver, and now she's seeking to go after her parents' policy as an insured party, and not, and there's an issue, I'm not gonna decide that, whether she is an insured party, that's the issue, that's the ultimate issue in the case, but she's seeking to go after the policy as if she is an insured party. So the real issue here is that if we find that she's not either an insured party or a family member, then there will be no coverage under that provision. There may be covered. There would have been coverage had she been driving the vehicle and had an accident. So just kind of walk us through all of that and how do you see that as being different? Because we're talking about the uninsured motorist provision, and I acknowledge, as Justice Mikva has said, there's no definition of family member there, and this is a different question which I'd like you to address at some point. But courts very often look at other statutes or other legislation to determine how the legislature may have intended to define terms. So what would be wrong with, as counsel suggests, as Mr. White suggests in his brief, that we look to the other provisions of the policy and look how the insurance company defines that and then use that definition to apply to another area where it may not have been defined? So I know I put a lot on you there, but if you can kind of get to all of it.
Yeah. I guess chronologically, so starting first with the issue of her not being in a motor vehicle. The Maryland law is clear that this statute, this underinsured motorist statute, is remedial in nature, and it's expansive and broad, and it's intended to protect people exactly like her who are hurt by underinsured motorist. So it's a wide sweeping statute. And I think that's in some of the cases that we cited in our brief and our reply brief. The statute is to be interpreted liberally to protect injured people who are injured by tortfeasors who don't have enough insurance coverage. The fact that she wasn't driving a vehicle, I agree with you, Your Honor. If she was in her parents' vehicle at home, I would like to think that she would be covered just by the fact that the vehicle's covered and coverage goes with the vehicle. I would like to think that Encompass would not dispute that. Maryland law is different than maybe how we have thought here in Illinois certain words are interpreted. And I read the statute and I read Forbes, and it says that the person need not be a, quote, named insurer, or need not be a, quote, policyholder. If they are listed in the declarations page of the policy, they are covered. And in Forbes, I believe the spouse, the wife, I don't think she was listed in the policy as a policyholder, but she was rated as an operator. I believe she co-owned the car, and her name appeared on that deck page. And the court said, although they decided the case on another issue, they decided it on whether she was a family member or not. The court said from the outset, a, quote, very strong case can be made that she's afforded coverage as a named insured under the motor vehicle statute. Because, let's see, the Maryland Insurance Code expanded the definition of named insured to include a person denominated in the declarations in a policy. So the court in Maryland expanded that to include people who are listed in the policy in the declarations page. And that's why I think whether or not she's a family member is maybe a secondary analysis to make. We think she's covered right there with her name being there under the motor vehicle protection and coverages summary. And that page, Your Honor, actually has a reference to the uninsured premium that was being paid. So it says right on the top, uninsured motorist, and then a list of other coverages. And then at the bottom, it says Laurel Paint. So we think that she's covered. As for Your Honor's second—
I'm going to stop you for one quick question. What you're calling the declaration page is the page that says motor vehicle protection coverage detail for 1991 Mercedes. That's what you're calling the declaration page.
And other pages throughout the policy. Yes, Your Honor, there was no page provided or tendered to us that has the word declaration at the top.
Okay, I'm sorry, finish Justice Walker's question and then I think we're gonna have to cut you off.
Sure, understood. And Justice Walker, the second part of your question, I've candidly forgot. What the second part of your question, if you recall. I'm trying to think.
Well, it was regarding the way that we interpret statutes and that why would we not interpret the insurance policy the same way that we interpret statutes?
Absolutely. Because under Maryland law, if a policy is ambiguous and if the court thinks that the policy is ambiguous, the policy is supposed to be construed against the drafter of the policy. The fact that there are other pages or other sections throughout that policy that define family member, and the one most important section we have in this case doesn't have a definition. I don't know why it's not provided, I'm not sure, but I think that that's very, very important here to not just borrow sections throughout the policy, because the policy itself in those other sections says, as it's used specifically in this section of the policy, or this segment of the policy, this is how it's defined. And I don't know what verbatim it says, but it's very, very close to that. And it says this is to be used only in this section. It doesn't say as it's used throughout the policy as a whole. So it's saying apply it only to this segment or this portion of the policy. And that's why we think that it's not proper to borrow definitions from other sections of the policy and read them into this section of the policy. And I think my time has elapsed, Your Honors.
It is, unless anybody else has questions for counsel right at this moment. All right, Mr. White, or Justice Johnson, did you have a question?
Not at this time, thank you.
Mr. White.
Thank you, may it please the court. Defendant believes that the summary judgment entered is proper. The defendant believes that Laurel Paint is not considered in this instance, a named insured under the policy. Ms. Payne focuses on 19501 of the code, and that specifically mentions the term named insured in the declarations. And yes, while there is no specific page in the policy that indicates the word declarations, if you look at C37, that's the summary. That shows policyholder / named insured as being Emery Payne and Jay Penson Payne, Miss Payne's parents. Nowhere in the coverage summary do we see Miss Payne, Laurel Payne, excuse me, being named as a named insured. Her name is in the policy. That cannot be disputed or contested. And a premium was paid. That also cannot be disputed or contested. But with regards to the definition of named insured and policyholder, that belongs to her parents, not her. I think the issue with Forbes is that the decedent in that case was the spouse. And they found instances when it's a spouse that is maybe not on the policy that they can be considered the named insured in that situation. In this case, Ms. Payne is not the spouse. She is the daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Payne.
Okay. Then why is she not a family member?
So with regards to the family member issue, we do think that the umbrella policy is applicable. That umbrella policy premiums were paid. to incorporate the umbrella policy into the other policies.
Whoa. Where does it say the umbrella policy is incorporated into the other policies? And the umbrella policy says, throughout this umbrella endorsement, when the following words appear, they are defined. Throughout the umbrella endorsement, it's kind of specific.
So in C49, where it talks about the personal umbrella coverage, it does list that covered exposures include the 1991 Mercedes-Benz, which is what is being claimed as the avenue for the rated driver, as well as the underinsured motorist coverage.
I'm sorry, let me back up. So is this a claim under the umbrella endorsement, or is it a claim under the uninsured motorist endorsement?
Well, it's an underinsured motorist endorsement, but I think we have to look to the umbrella that gives us the definition as the family member. I think family member is a defined term. I don't think that it's just a generic term that we can just look to and say, well, anyone can be a family member or blood or adoption. I think it's very much a defined term. And that's why we have to look at the umbrella policy to explain who is a family member.
Why wouldn't you define it in the uninsured motorist coverage like you do in the boat coverage, and you do in the umbrella coverage, and you do in other specific coverages? You specifically have definitions, but those definitions are quite absent from the uninsured motorist
coverage. And that is a question that obviously is at issue here. I just look back towards the policy saying it's a covered exposure under the umbrella, which is why we go to look at the definitions in that umbrella.
Covered exposure, where in the record does the umbrella policy get, umbrella endorsement get brought into this claim? I'm sorry.
In page C40, on the record C49, that talks about the personal umbrella coverages, towards the bottom of the page where it starts talking about the premium, it talks about covered exposures and it includes the vehicles.
The umbrella policy could get triggered in a motorist claim, but was it triggered in this case?
The coverages? Well, the coverages would apply to the Mercedes-Benz, and that would be the underinsured motorist claim.
I understand, but the claim made here is an umbrella coverage claim or is an uninsured motorist coverage claim?
Well, it's an underinsured motorist coverage claim. That's the nature of what's being asserted in this. But I think we still have to look to the umbrella.
Well, the umbrella doesn't kick in until the uninsured motorist provision is that limit is met. And then if the damages go beyond what is covered under the uninsured motorist provision, then the umbrella policy kicks in to satisfy whatever that overage is. But my question though, counsel, is you're saying that she's not an insured party, yet they paid an additional $133 a year or maybe every 6 months for additional premiums to have her listed on the policy. Her name is all throughout the policy, clearly as a covered party. Why should we or why should any court assume that she's not insured when she's a covered party? That's why I asked the question earlier, and I'll ask you the same question. Do you believe there's a difference between a party that's covered and a party that's insured under these circumstances?
Absolutely. I think you and counsel had a previous discussion about, you know, would the dynamic or the analysis change if she was in a vehicle? And yes, I do agree that the dynamic could change or the analysis could change if, for instance, she was living at home. But the fact that she was living in Chicago away from the property, certainly she established Illinois residency. She was gone for over a year and a half and living in Illinois driver's license.
Counselor, you're dealing with the family member issue right now. And Mr. Phillips has kind of put that on the back burner here. He's arguing it, but you know, he believes his strongest argument is that she's clearly an insured. So let's kind of stick to that for a moment. And sure. So let's get back on track.
I don't think she's listed as an insured. Again, her name's on it, and yes, the premiums pay for it. But when we look at the summary page, it clearly directs that the policyholders and named insureds are her parents. I think if the intent was to have Laurel Payne listed as a named insured, that is something that the Paynes could have done. Instead, they just paid a premium to have her put on the vehicles. I do think there's a difference as to where she's located. I think as a rated driver, that suggests that she simply uses the vehicle. But I think for her being a named insured, that's not consistent with the policy.
But that was the purpose for them paying the additional premiums and adding her name on there. Generally, if you have a 30-year-old daughter or a 25-year-old daughter living in the home with you who periodically drives your car, there's no need to inform the insurance company that, hey, this is another driver of the car. We need to add her to the insurance policy. Generally, you're adding them because you want them to be an insured under the policy. That's the purpose of adding them. Because otherwise, there's no need to add an adult child above the age of 25 that's living in the home with you.
And I understand that. And yes, they made that agreement. You know, they put that on, and she was listed on the policy well before this accident when she was a student. And for some reason, whether it was the Paynes or whether it was Encompass, that was never addressed. It was the coverages were never changed to address where she was residing. So yes.
Right. Back up a second. You just said she was added when she was a student. So she was probably below the age of 25. We don't know. I'd have to look back at the record to confirm that. And if you know, you can confirm it right now. So she was probably not above the age of 25. The parents' policy probably didn't cover vehicle or drivers of the vehicle under the age of 25. So they specifically added her to make sure she would be an insured under the policy. So now that time has elapsed and she's no longer under 25 years of age, how can you now argue that she's not an insured under the policy?
Because we still have to look at the facts of the loss to determine if she qualifies for coverage. Whether she's a named insured or just a covered person, you still ultimately need to look at where the accident happened or the facts of the accident to determine if that falls within the coverage of the policy.
If an individual has insurance, motor vehicle insurance, and they're involved in an accident, as she was walking as a pedestrian, clearly, if her mom or dad had been hit by that car, you would agree that they're insured, they're covered, the uninsured motorist provision kicks in, and then if that's not enough to cover all of her injuries, then the umbrella policy would kick in. You would agree with that, correct?
Yes, because they are the named insured policyholder. Absolutely.
And now you're saying that even though she's listed in the policy, your argument is that she's not a named insured, even though she's paying premiums, or maybe she's been paying them herself by giving the money back to her parents for years. So she's, and the reason that they paid the money to the insurance company, those premiums were paid so that she would be listed as an insured party.
And I don't, that's not an issue that's in disagreement that the premiums were paid, but the question then becomes, does she qualify for the coverage based upon the facts of the loss?
Well, we'll get to the coverage next. The question now is, based upon the payment of those premiums and her being listed in the policy, is she an insured? You're saying, it seems like now you're saying maybe so, but she's not covered under this situation.
She is not the named insured. She might be a covered person because a premium was paid, but pursuant to how you or they is defined, she wouldn't be considered the named insured.
But is she a family member? What is the coverage for if it's not for this, I guess is maybe part of Justice Walker's question. What is this coverage for? What is this premium paid for?
The premium is paid for if a loss occurs that falls within the coverage.
But what is that? Where is she covered? How is she covered? For what?
she would be covered under, in this instance, you know, they would look to, as in this case, one of the avenues is a family member, or their argument is a U. And while Encompass does not believe she qualifies as the U or the named insured, we also do not believe she would qualify as a family member. Now, if she was living at home, that's again a different analysis. Then she would qualify as a family member, or if she was in school and living away, or in the military and living away, and she was, and the premium was paid, yes, she would still qualify as the family member.
So then that begs the question as to what their remedy would be for your having accepted their premiums for this additional coverage, when it sounds like you're saying she could not be covered, but yet your company continued to accept the premiums and listed her on the policy as if she were.
And again, that goes back to, though, you have to look at the facts of the loss to determine if something is covered. I mean, in this case, we know the facts, but there's other situations where a homeowner is claiming an intentional act just because, you know, the insured punches someone in the face and commits an intentional act doesn't mean that they're entitled to coverage. You still have to perform an analysis to determine, yes, you pay a premium. You hope or expect that you get a covered, that your loss is going to be covered. But if the facts fall, create an issue where it's not a covered loss, then it can be denied. We see this with storm cases or flood cases or water backup with homeowners claims all the time. We still have to look at how the accident happened, determine if it falls within the coverage of a policy. And even if you're the named insured, you might not be afforded coverage under it.
So just want to go rehash this one more time, though. You agree that if her mother had been hit by this vehicle while crossing the street, that would be a covered incident, correct?
Correct, because she would be defined as you.
And the only difference here is that you don't believe the daughter, who is listed in the policy, who's been paying premiums, is also covered from that same accident. So if they were walking down the streets together, the mother would be covered and the daughter would not. Is that what that's your argument, correct?
Yes. That is essentially the position that Encompass has put out there.
And you do acknowledge that you paid they paid premiums to you for years.
Yes, that has never been in dispute.
To be covered. So that they would be covered.
So that they could potentially have coverage depending on the facts of the loss, yes.
Well, if you're claiming this is a factual question, then this probably shouldn't have been a summary judgment case in the first place if there's still a factual issue out there.
Well, based upon
summary judgment case.
I apologize. Well, there's no...
I'll let you walk it back. Go ahead, walk it back.
No, thank you, Justice.
Uh-huh, sure.
The issue is how the loss occurred. Does she qualify as a family member? And that's the analysis that Encompass ultimately determined based upon its investigation that she didn't qualify as a family member. We know it's a pedestrian, that's not a dispute. We know that she was hidden by a vehicle.
But that's not, you keep going back to family member. That's not Mr. Phillips' strongest argument. He told us that wasn't his strongest argument. He believed the strongest argument that she's an insured. So that's why we're still discussing that now. But since you want to discuss family members, let's discuss family members. The policy, as Justice Mikva started out, there's nothing in this particular part of the policy that defines family member. Therefore, we would interpret that against the insurance company because they didn't define what a family member is. You want us to take a definition from from some other part of the policy. But each part of that policy, as Mr. Phillips stated earlier, reads, or maybe just as Mikva said it, I don't remember who said it, but it reads such that it says that it only applies here, and basically it implies that it shouldn't be used anywhere else. So you can respond to that.
I think case law says that you have to, the Maryland case law says you look at the policy as a whole. And yes, there's no, in the underinsured motorist coverage, you do not see a definition for family member, nor do you see a definition of you, but we have to look at, we can look at other areas of the policy to help understand what those definitions are.
Right, but, and I'm pretty sure it was Justice Nickel who said this earlier, that the thing is that that provision, if we look to another provision of the policy, it says that it's limited to this provision and that this definition shouldn't be used elsewhere in the policy. So now we all agree, and I think you agree because you just said it, that there's no definition in the uninsured motorist provision, correct?
Correct. If you look at
the uninsured- So if there's no definition there, and then the definition elsewhere says that this definition only applies to this particular provision and should not be relied upon anywhere else, why are we relying on it? That's, the insurance company wrote that. Ms. Payne didn't write that, and neither did her parents.
I think if we look at the policy as the whole, we get the definition. And the definition is in the motor vehicle segment section. So it is defined, and the, you know, obviously then the question is, where is the motor vehicle segment as to how that's defined?
The uninsured motorist coverage section does have some definitions, and it just doesn't define those terms, correct?
Correct. I think in the definition section, the introductory paragraph talks about where the definitions might be or could be and what might be replaced or what might be edited.
So it sounds like it may have just been a Scrivener's error on the part of the insurance company to not include it. That's what it kind of sounds like here. Do you agree?
I don't know if it was a Scrivener's error or not. I wish I could give you a different answer to that.
Well, if it were intended to be there and we're supposed to rely on it, then it's got to not be there because of someone's error or they didn't intend for it to be there. And if they didn't intend to define it, then the policy has to be construed against them.
Well, I think if the question is of you or family member and the position is that's not defined, then I think to an earlier statement you made, is that a question of fact then?
You're saying it's a question of fact. I'm not taking a position on whether it's a question of fact or not. That's why I said you could walk it back. I'm not taking a position on anything right now. I'm just trying to understand.
No, understood. Understood.
Yeah. So.
I think we also have to look at the case of Mundy. I know counsel wants to focus on Forbes. I think the case of Mundy is more on point. I think the provision that is cited as restricting the underinsured motorist coverage. The Maryland Appellate Court has held that as a constitutional provision. It's not certainly an exclusion. It simply narrows it. I think Mundy is more consistent with this case than Forbes. In Mundy, that's a son. The son clearly no longer was residing at home. And I think more importantly, in Mundy too, it addresses the issue as to who the named insureds were, and that listed it as the parents. I think it's distinguishable from Forbes as trying to say that that Mrs. Forbes or the decedent is a named insured, because they've also held that when it's a spouse, that is fairly common. And in this case, again, it's the daughter, Ms. Payne, who's asserting coverage.
Counsel, your time is up, but if there's any points you weren't able to make or any questions of either of the justices, this will give you time to do that.
No, thank you so much.
Okay. Mr. Phillips.
Thank you, Your Honor. Working backwards, starting first with Mundy, I suppose, because that was the most recent point. Mundy is not on point in this case. In Mundy, there's two important distinctions, and we mentioned this in the brief, so I apologize for rehashing it. But In Mundy, the question was whether a child of a policyholder who is not explicitly named in the policy, whose name doesn't appear in the policy, can be afforded coverage by virtue of the relationship to the parent. This is different. Laurel's in the policy at least 8 or 9 or 10 different times. Second, Mundy, the parents asked him to move out of the home and live elsewhere and not return. And that is certainly not the circumstance here. So those are two big distinguishing factors in Mundy. Laurel still considered Baltimore to be her home. And like many people, honestly, younger.
That's going to lead you right back to Justice Walker's question of fact. So I don't think that's where you want to go.
I agree, Your Honor. I just felt the need to touch on Mundy.
Yeah.
It's not on point. The second thing is, and Justice Walker made a very good point of this, Laurel's parents bargained for this coverage. If this was a scenario where Laurel was not explicitly mentioned in the policy and she had this loss and her parents picked up the phone and called Encompass and said, our daughter just got hit by a car, the first thing they would have said, I think, is, well, she's not listed in the policy. You haven't been paying premiums for her. You should have had her listed in the policy. That's, I think, the first thing they would do. They did that, and they did that for years before this, and they did that to provide coverage for their daughter, and they went above and beyond what a normal parent, I think, would do, which is just assume that the kids are covered, right? They're not coverage attorneys. Did what a really good parent would do and have the kids listed by name in the policy, pay additional premiums for the children's behalf, ensure the premiums got paid, and be sure that there's uninsured coverage as well, uninsured motorist coverage. And they did all of that here. This is not a situation where the court has to kind of speculate or guess as to whether or not the parties, or certainly the plaintiff, intended to have coverage for a child or intended to have coverage for another person. She's listed right there in the policy. And they put Encompass on notice when Laurel was well below age 25. I think at the time she was 23 when she was injured in this accident. So well before that, Encompass had been made aware of and was charging her for additional premiums for her coverage. So I think with that in mind, what her parents and her bargained for, it's pretty clear as it relates to the policy and how she's listed. Last little point here before I ask if the court has any questions. The defendant had a lot of trouble there at the beginning answering why there was no specific definition for family member in that portion of the policy. And absent that definition, again, the policy is to be construed against the policyholder. Laurel did not draft the policy. Encompass had the opportunity to put whatever they wanted into that policy, and they did not. And with that, Your Honor, I think, again, this is a...
I just have one quick question. Is umbrella coverage triggered in this claim at all? Is there a claim for umbrella coverage?
I suppose that may depend on the loss, candidly.
And theoretically, it could get triggered, but it's not, right now, it's just a claim under the uninsured motorist coverage.
That's correct. And I suppose it would depend on what an arbitrator may award.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions from anybody else?
No, thank you.
All right. Thank you, counsel. We will take this matter under advisement and you will hear from us shortly. Thank you for a very spirited argument on both of your sides.
Thank you very much.